all in all, because all is related to everything else, and everything is part of the all. A weekly space on Oneness Talk Radio to explore topics of interest for our whole being. Holism, health and well-being, philosophical questions and ideas for our times, and much more. All in All with Silvana Spano, therapist, holistic health coach, healer, and teacher. Hi everyone! I hope you've been well. It's been a month since the last episode, as I am now updating this radio show on the second Tuesday of every month. After a very chaotic, very disruptive month of October 2019, the energy of November was pretty similar in terms of the intensity. That's true for a lot of people, isn't it? Lots of folks around the planet have been shaken up lately, with major things turning upside down in their lives, big revelations suddenly presenting themselves. In all cases, people are having to deal with massive amounts of change in some way or other, and that is not comfortable. It's very stressful and sometimes even traumatic. That's certainly true down here in South America, where there's been so much upheaval in the last few months, and it continues. So, given the circumstances, I decided to offer you a program that is relevant to our times. And in doing so, I've decided to call on my great friend and colleague, Dexter Leland. So, you are going to hear from him in this episode. Dexter is a very skilled, very accomplished, very talented energy healer who currently lives in Santa Rosa, California, but has lived and trained under different shamans and healers around the world since he was a very young man. Some of that training we did together in the highlands of Guatemala. In fact, we did an apprenticeship with a traditional medicine woman there called Vicenta. So Vicenta is an authentic Sutuhil Mayan. There are many different ethnic groups within the living Mayan culture, and she's part of the Sutuhil people who live around Lake Atitlan in the highlands of Guatemala. In some of the towns around Lake Atitlan. We lived with her and her family during the training. We shadowed her and her healing partner, Antonio, who is also her brother-in-law. And we practiced and practiced until we graduated from the training program and moved on to do our own work with the new tools that we had learned from them. I will bring Dexter back on the program several times, so today is only your first introduction to him. If you want to contact Dexter, please send me an email message and I will put you in touch with him for sessions or consultations. He's a great healer who is very knowledgeable, very intuitive, and very ethical. Okay, having said that, let's talk about our subject today. I'll start by saying that in many shamanic traditions, they have a concept called soul loss, which is more or less, generally speaking, similar to the concept of disassociation in psychology. In other words, it is a type of disconnection that happens during times of stress and trauma, which is really a defense mechanism to protect us in the moment, but can leave us less than whole. It can leave us split. It can leave us disconnected from ourselves. When this happens, it's like there's a suspension of continuity in our experience. Sometimes it's only partial, where one aspect of ourselves gets locked up or locked out of the whole. So it can be reflected in symptoms of distraction, like the person is ungrounded, lost, not able to access some aspects of themselves or their memories. Or it can be reflected in a wound that the person carries, where the disconnection is perhaps less obvious, but is there when you look into it a little deeper. So in psychology, we have ways of approaching disassociation that includes talk therapy and other techniques designed to make the unconscious conscious, to help the person realize that they are now safe, even if they didn't feel safe when the trauma happened, and to get them to relax and reconnect to their feelings. When this process is successful, the person ends up feeling more relaxed, less defended, more present, more able to use the aspects of themselves that got rejected, not intentionally, but still rejected or locked out, and feel more complete. But in the shamanic traditions, they have a different technique, a different method or process for dealing with the consequences of trauma or soul loss. They have a process that they call soul retrieval. Perhaps you've heard of this already. And what I'd like to do in this episode is explain to you more about it and have you listen to Dexter talk about what the Mayan people of Guatemala taught us about their way of doing soul retrieval work. But so you know the general definition, this is a kind of intervention that is common in many shamanic contexts, where the healer enters an alternate state of consciousness, invokes the assistance of protective forces and spirits, locates the lost soul essence, and brings it back to the person who is suffering from soul loss. Now, just before I get into it further, I'd like to share that after getting trained in this process in Guatemala, both Dexter and I integrated this practice into our own way of working as energy healers. In my case, my energy healing practice is, to this day, very much intertwined with my psycho-spiritual therapeutic approach. I don't always use these kinds of techniques, but sometimes I do, depending on the case, the client, and the messages I get about the appropriateness of integrating a very shamanic ceremony like soul retrieval into the different interventions that can help the client. So I'm going to read you a bit from my master's thesis, which integrated psychology and Mayan healing practices, to help you see how soul loss and soul retrieval, its remedy, fits into the shamanic classification of loss of health or well-being. And so you have a general understanding of what this classification includes and how soul loss fits in. Some of the types of imbalances or conditions include fracturas or fractures, evil eye, soul loss, fallen stomach, susto or fright, mal aire or bad air, bad magic, and emotional distress. And here is the description of soul loss from page 133 of my master's thesis. Soul loss, also known as a loss of protection, is considered a very serious condition caused by physical or emotional trauma. If left unattended, soul loss can cause a variety of problems at the physical, emotional, and spiritual levels. The Mayans of Guatemala understand it as the soul, spirit, or personal energy field of the person losing parts or fragments, which are, to them, literally left behind in the time and place where the physical or emotional shock occurred. Once a Vicenta's clients mentioned that a woman recommended she go see the healer. The recommending party's advice was that Perhaps you don't have your protection right now, and the doctor can't see that, if one has one's protection or not. Go to her, and I'm sure she'll heal you. So now let's go to page 164 of the thesis, where it talks about soul retrieval, followed by some more word-by-word explanations from clients who receive this healing session, which is actually a healing ceremony. Soul retrieval is a specialized shamanic ceremony performed by a healer or shaman to bring back the parts of a client's soul or self that were left behind in moments of physical or emotional trauma. Local Mayans also refer to it as bringing one's protection back, as they believe that when a person's energy is fragmented, it leaves him or her in a weak and vulnerable state. Almost everyone is considered to suffer some degree of soul loss at some point in their lives, from painful or shocking experiences. Soul retrieval is a treatment for it. It is very dangerous to live without one's whole soul, one's intact self, one's protection. Therefore, this healing work is taken very seriously and considered indispensable for health and well-being. So here's a direct quote of what Juana, a woman that I interviewed, said to me about the various traditions of soul retrieval rituals in her town, San Pedro in Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, as well as describing what she witnessed and heard when Vicenta performed a soul retrieval on her little sister. And the quote says, "People do it in different ways. Here in San Pedro, there's three ways. Some go to the place where the person fell or suffered the trauma, and they hit the ground and the person's clothes. That's one. Another way is that the person's clothes are taken to the healer's home, and they do it there. And they go pick them up at midnight. Vicenta, what she does is that in her own home, although the person did not fall there, uses a stone and a little bit of water, and she says, 'Let's go, let's go, let's go.' And then the words she says are, 'Come, what are you doing here? Come, come, let's go home. Let's go home. Let's go, my dear. Come, your mom is waiting.' That's what I have heard Vicenta say when she did it for my little sister." End of quote. Dennis, a doctor from California who had the ceremony done to him in Guatemala, offered a detailed description of his own soul retrieval experience. Beginning of quote. "They talk about some of the things that have happened to you, your traumas, some deep-seated patterns or parts of you that were left behind energy-wise, even in certain geographical places. So I told them about my hometown where most of the early traumas probably happened. But of course, there were traumas in many, many other places. So that's mainly what people work with, what happened to them in the first 15 years of their lives. So evidently, that healer person works with that information, and during that time, you are lying down. And I definitely felt like, I'll use the word chakra for lack of a better word, but perhaps it is holes in different parts of your body opened up a little bit more. And especially my solar plexus felt like it was being filled up or something. And that went on during almost the whole part of the soul retrieval ceremony, in the various different chakra holes in the body. I can't say it's a super strong feeling, but that's what occurred to me, what was happening, what I get. You could kind of feel like you were getting pumped up, like your gas tank was being filled up." End of quote. Okay, I'm gonna read you one more quote. This one's from Ray, an American who was living in Antigua, Guatemala at the time of my research, and offered a detailed account of her soul retrieval experience and what she interpreted as a healing crisis caused by it. Beginning of quote. I felt suspended, sort of. I felt good. And right afterwards, I was supposed to go to sleep right on top of the whip. And I became violently ill. 5 minutes, no more than 5 minutes. I really, really was getting rid of stuff. End of quote. And I'd like to interject here for a moment to point out that non-coincidentally, purging is a central theme in shamanism as well. In fact, shamanic cultures see bodily detoxification as a very positive thing and nothing to be scared of, even when it comes on like that, suddenly, spontaneously, and provoked by our will. On the contrary, they honor it and celebrate it. This is especially interesting in this context, as this is not a common reaction for people who receive a soul retrieval. Shamanic people believe that when we purge, we expel not only physical toxins, but also, more importantly, energetic toxins. And that was exactly what was happening. Now listen to what Ray said later on. I felt quite light, again, really taken care of. I felt like I was in really good hands. I felt protected. I felt defended. I felt as good as I needed to feel. I really needed to feel those things. I had the feeling that this tool, the soul retrieval, was super powerful. It was very, very good for me. It wasn't the whole healing. I still had a lot of work to do, but it was a big piece of healing for me. I felt that it jump-started me. It really put me in a good direction. End of quote. And now let's listen to Dexter describe soul retrieval and our experience with it in Guatemala in his own words.
Hello everyone, my name is Dexter Leland. I spent 7 years in Guatemala. I came down from California to study with the Mayan shamans and healers of Guatemala. And it was quite an experience of coming down and finding very, very genuine shaman teacher that I studied with in Lake Atitlan for 5 years, going through the path of learning the fire ceremony with Don Pedro Cruz of San Pedro de Laguna in Lake Atitlan. And while I was there studying and working, I had met Silvana, and I had a book with me by Sandra Ingerman about soul retrieval and mending the fragmented soul. And I was reading that at the shores of Lake Atitlan by my hotel and watching the lake and the beauty of Guatemala. And I was wondering if I needed one of these soul retrievals myself. And little did I know that very soon I would be studying with a woman healer who exposed me to a Mayan form of soul retrieval. And I had no idea that this was a part of their culture, and this was not a part of what I was learning from Don Pedro. And so Sylvan and I began apprenticing with Vicenta's husband's brother, Antonio. He was a young 24 years old at the time, apprentice of Vicenta, and he was teaching us the ceremony that the Mayans do for soul retrieval. And what soul retrieval is in their culture is around any kind of trauma that's happened where a person fragments off from their experience and it gets their soul fragment gets stuck outside of their body. And so a lot of times It has to do with people that get frightened or car accidents or the different things where the Mayan families and the people bring their children there to get this reconnected to the fragmented self from falls and accidents and situations. So in the process of learning this, Sylvan and I were in Northern California seeing clients. We came across a woman who had been in a car accident. She was in her 30s, and when she was 16 was in a car accident. And you interview the client and you find what resonates as being the main trauma that needs to be, the fragment needs to be returned. And so that really resonated. And so you find out where this happened, what town, what state it was in, hopefully maybe the road or street it was on. And part of Sylvan and I being allowed into the Mayan world and studying this was that for myself, I had done many years of gone off in the hills and been in meditation, and it was very easy for me to leave my body and move into other worlds. And this was one of the prerequisites for being able to find these fragments. So the woman, what you do is you have the person lie down, the client lie down in a comfortable mat on the floor. You light two candles, you create a sacred space, a protective space. You pour some holy water, sprinkle it around the person on the floor, and you have a small natural rope whip that you begin breaking up the negative energy, and you're hitting the water around the person, and you're breaking up the negative energy and releasing it. And then you place the whip on the person's stomach. And then you travel into the other world, and you find the stuck fragment, you find the fragment from the 16-year-old experience of the car accident. You compassionately approach it and announce to the fragment that the person is ready to have this returned and to join me in returning. And also, I learned along the way in doing this many times, there's usually a loved one, like a grandmother, or sometimes if a person has a guru or a teacher, I ask, is there anyone like to join me in returning this fragment to its owner? And whoever shows up, and it's sometimes it's very touching of who you're journeying with back. And you go back to the client and you blow the fragment into the top of the head, and you blow the fragment into the heart, and then you wait and you let the whole process integrate, and you just feel the mending taking place. And some people lay there from 10 to can be 45 minutes, and when they're ready to get up, you get to help them and assist them to get up and ground them. And what is very beautiful is a lot of people, their eyes are just radiating after it. You can just really see that the whole thing has taken place and has mended, and there's a radiance to them that wasn't there before. And so this is one of the many stories that I'm going to be sharing with you over time with Sylvana. And I just really, both her and I appreciated being allowed into the indigenous Mayan world and being able to study and learn these things. And I'm just very honored to be able to share this information now with a bigger audience. And eventually this will be put into a book that I'm writing. So thank you all. Take care.
Thank you, Dexter, for sharing all that. I am remembering the results that Dexter got when Vicenta and Antonio did a soul retrieval for him in Guatemala. So the day after the ceremony, he woke up with a very different energy, much more present, and he noticed that the Curtains needed to be changed, and the apartment needed to be painted, and the walls needed some new art. And in addition to feeling more alive, Dexter realized that we were definitely on the right track for learning this technique that could help so many people recover lost talents, as well as awareness, spontaneity, creativity, inspiration. And so we both felt so honored and fortunate to have been invited into this world to learn this way of healing from authentic Mayan healers who don't normally share their secrets with the outside world, but that for some reason were called to teach us what they knew. That is their way, their very traditional way of doing a soul retrieval, their particular variation of the craft. And as part of this inclusion, of this apprenticeship, of this experience, we also got official authorization to go out into the world and heal our clients with their sacred tradition. In closing, I'd like to share something that a professor I once had, an anthropologist who taught the very first course I took at the Institute for Shamanic Studies, said to the class, which had a huge impact on me at the time. She said that all humans suffer from energetic imbalances along their lives. The difference is that in shamanic societies, people know it, and they also know where to go to get it corrected. Instead, in non-shamanic or modern societies, which think themselves so advanced, people walk around with energetic imbalances all the time, not knowing they have them, not knowing that they need help or how to seek help, not knowing how to come back to balance. In some cases, these imbalances are serious enough that they will have a significant or serious effect on the person's health and well-being. Physical, mental, emotional, all of our ancestors knew about that, but we have lost the knowledge. We have lost our way. Think about that. Now, I'm not saying that the shamanic way to correct these imbalances is the only way to do it. There are people in non-shamanic contexts that have figured out how to address these things, correct these things, or help the person heal these things, him or herself, which is always the most empowering intervention, in my view. But it's definitely not mainstream. I mean, not in the so-called modern societies. At least not yet. Be well, everyone. I wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And I will meet you here again in January of 2020. Blessings to all for the new year and always. Thank you for listening to today's program. I wish you a week ahead filled with blessings for your body, heart, and soul, and hope that you tune into All in All next time. If you're bilingual or learning Spanish, I invite you to stay on and listen to the Spanish version of this episode. Coming up next, ciao!